Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution.
Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast of the Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. I'm David Bowes, your host. In 1991, a book was published that dared to challenge the orthodoxy of materialist Darwinism. It put the evidence of Darwinian evolution under a critical eye and found it lacking. In its bindings was a modern-day version of the Scopes trial, only this time it was Darwinian theory that was being dismantled. The book was Darwin on Trial, and with its publication, its author, a Harvard-educated University of California at Berkeley lawyer, Philip E. Johnson, awakened a movement of scientists, philosophers, and mathematicians who dared to step forward and attest to seeing evidence of intelligent design in nature. The Discovery Institute held a celebration for the 20th anniversary of this groundbreaking work and to honor its author. In the following podcast, you'll hear from Dr. Paul Nilsson and Dr. Jonathan Wells about the impact of Darwin on Trial and the courage of its author. We'll start with Dr. Paul Nilsson, a fellow of the Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. Dr. Nilsson is a philosopher of biology, specializing in evolutionary developmental biology. He received his Ph.D. in philosophy from the University of Chicago. Here is Dr. Nilsson's tribute to Philip Johnson and Darwin on Trial.
This may sound mystical or spooky, but I first met Phil, not the man, but the prose. And, you know, that sounds positively platonic, but in fact, my first encounter with Phil was to be handed a manuscript by Steve Meyer in June 1988, when both he and I were graduate students. And it was at a conference in Tacoma, organized by Charles Thaxton. Steve handed me the manuscript. He said, "I met this crazy lawyer in England, and I think he's going to make a difference. Look at this text and see what you think." Well, he was right. The prose jumped off the page in its liveliness, its freedom, its insight, its humor. And I would make the case that the strongest cultural influence that the intelligent design community has had has been through its books. They change lives. Darwin on Trial, in particular, changed the thinking of many biologists that I know and gave them the courage to step forward and say, "I too dissent from the Darwinian worldview." So 23 years ago, June 1988, I had this manuscript that became Darwin on Trial, the book. And there was one insight there that was, I think, the most powerful of all. And that is never to accept the assumptions that are taken as tacit in any intellectual field. The assumptions that are taken as defining that field. In this case, the question of origins. Phil's most powerful insight, by far, was to challenge the assumption of naturalism. That most intellectuals then and now, in the field, in evolutionary biology, in the areas of science dealing with origins, take as coextensive with reality. And Phil's insight was, if you do that, you as an interlocutor with evolutionary theory, if you accept that kind of assumption, you will find that you will be forced to accept conclusions that may be at odds with reality, because that assumption, that governing assumption, will guide your thinking in ways that are like railroad tracks. They'll just take you somewhere. That insight, I know from personal experience and from interacting with people like Mike Behe, Bill Dembski, Steve Meyer, Doug Axe, and others, is liberating. Because it lets you, if you challenge naturalism, it lets you then look at the evidence itself with fresh eyes and reinterpret that evidence in ways that are consonant with reality. So I want to thank Phil for the courage that he had as a law professor coming into a field from the outside to challenge its governing assumptions in a way that was witty, that invited discussion, that was filled with humor and insight, and that really did create a community, the intelligent design community, of which we are now all members. And I guess my final remark would be to say that ideas have power. I'm enough of a Platonist to believe that the intelligent design central ideas have now gone out into the scientific community, and they are doing work for us. I see this every day in my interactions with scientists. And I credit Phil with much of that progress. So thank you very much.
Now let's hear from Dr. Jonathan Wells. Dr. Wells has two PhDs, one in molecular and cell biology from the University of California at Berkeley, and another in religious studies from Yale University. He's conducted postdoctoral research in biology at Berkeley and is the author or co-author of numerous books, including Icons of Evolution and the Myth of Junk DNA. Here, Dr. Wells relates the impact Darwin on Trial and its author made on his life and career.
In 1991, I was a graduate student in biology at the University of California at Berkeley. I had been a skeptic of Darwinian evolution for many years. I kept it pretty much to myself. I was a skeptic of the mechanism of natural selection and random mutation because I knew that it couldn't do what it was supposed to be able to do. But at that time, I had not yet questioned the other prong of Darwinian evolution, which is to say the idea that all living things are descended from a common ancestor. Well, while I was there in 1991, an old friend, told me about a book that was just coming out called Darwin on Trial. Well, in the past decade before that, I had read many books criticizing evolution from various perspectives and was unimpressed by all of them. And so when I heard about this book by a lawyer, I thought, well, I'm not going to waste my time with that. But the friend prevailed upon me. I got the book. My wife, Lucy, and I read it. And when we finished, we wanted to stand up and cheer. What Phil did for me in that book, and for a lot of other people, is not only smash the idea that the mechanism didn't work, he showed to me very clearly that the idea of common ancestry was basically applied materialistic philosophy. That is, the evidence for common ancestry is so thin that unless you assume materialism and the idea that all of this had to happen without any kind of divine intervention, unless you assume that, the evidence for common ancestry is pathetic. So in 1991, his book convinced me of that. Well, I knew he was just across campus, so I called him up and said, Phil, let's get together for lunch. And he said, great, I'll meet you at the faculty club tomorrow or something like that. And then I thought, uh-oh, because I was a man with a past. I had been a Berkeley undergraduate 20 years earlier. In fact, I had been a Berkeley radical. And something told me that this man was not part of that movement. In fact, after spending 2 years in the Army as a draftee in the 60s, I had gone to Berkeley, gotten called back as a reservist, refused, and spent a year and a half in prison between my junior and senior years. And I thought, I'm not sure this man will take to me without a little help. So I brought along the friend, who actually was a friend of Phil's as well, who had recommended that I read the book. So with friend in hand, we went to meet Phil for lunch. And it turned out that Phil was not only brilliant intellectually, but a big enough person to welcome me as a friend, and we've been friends ever since, in spite of what he calls my colorful past. So I'm making this very brief. I could say a lot more, but let me just say that soon after that, as many of you know, Phil organized a meeting near Monterey with Kathy, his lovely wife, taking care of us very well, at which I met many of the people in this room and many of the people you've heard from this morning. And I became then part of what is now known as the Intelligent Design Movement. So I want to thank Phil for writing a book that changed not only the world, but also ruined my life. Because if I had not met him, I probably would have gone on to become a tenured professor with lots of publications, lots of respect. And as it is, I'm part of this notorious band of revolutionaries. I'm kidding, of course. Thank you, Phil.
As a part of the celebration of Darwin on Trial and its tremendous impact on science and the intelligent design movement, we hope you will explore darwinontrial.com. This has been a podcast of the Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture, copyright 2011, Discovery Institute. For more information, please visit discovery.org/CSC.